Amen. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Jim Berg used to, well, he still says, he said it in his book, several that he's written, something, a perspective of the Christian that we always keep in mind. And that is indeed that God Himself is more than enough for me. That counters the temptation to be discontent in your life and my life. And we know that Christ is indeed enough. And we look to Him and we praise Him. Well, we are in John chapter 15, working through this passage. Our theme this year is the abiding life. The abiding life. And we're going to look at another perspective of the abiding life. We have certainly looked at the Lord Jesus declaring that He is the true vine, that His Father is the husbandman or the expert vine dresser, if you will, that tends to the branches. And He talks about the branches. That's you and me. We're the branches. And we are designed to bring forth fruit. Now, it's speaking here of those that are already in Christ. All right? If you are not saved here this morning, your first and most important step in life is to get saved. Come to Christ as you are with all your sin and say, "Dear God, I don't want religion. I don't want my good works. I know I have a past, I know I have sin, but I believe You died for me to save me." When you do that, God will save you. That's the gospel. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again so that you could be saved. One of the most frustrating things I can only imagine is a person trying to live the Christian life apart from being connected to the true vine. That's where the power is, friend. That's where the true life source is. It comes through the vine and to the branches. But nevertheless, we see here that He's speaking to His disciples, people that are already saved. I would venture to believe that most here this morning in a service like this, most of you, I would believe, are saved and have a testimony of knowing the Lord. And God wants us to not only understand how important it is to be saved, but God wants us to understand that it goes even deeper than that. After being saved, He wants us to abide. But you see, the abiding life is not automatic. The abiding life does not happen as soon as you get saved and it just happens until God calls you home. No. I wish it was. I mean, you know, in my human thinking and reasoning, boy, it'd be nice if we were just, after we're saved, we never struggled with sin, we never struggled with the world, the devil just left us alone, and we just kind of cruise through life until God calls us home. We all know that's not true. It's not the way it happens. It's not the way God has designed it. God has designed and said, "No, I'm going to keep you in a sinful world, but I'm going to live in you and through you. And I'm going to be a light to a lost and dying world so that you, your life, can bear fruit so that people can be helped and saved and I ultimately will be glorified." That's what we have here. Jesus teaching them the abiding life. Will you look at the passage with me? Here we have, the Bible says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it," okay, or prunes it, "that it may bring forth more fruit." And then He says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." We preached on that passage, the importance of the word of God in our lives. And then verse 4, He says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." Now skip down to verse 7 with me, please. Verse 4, He gives the command. Verse 7, He gives the condition that if you'll do what I told you to do, notice this promise here. Verse 7, would you read it with me? "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." You see, a promise that Jesus gives here in verse 7, that if you'll do what I'm telling you to do, abiding in me and I in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. It's a promise, but it's a conditional promise. And it's very important for God's people to understand this when it comes to the matter of prayer. Because that's what I want to speak to you in the moments that I have here with you this morning. I want to talk to you about how the abiding life will produce the prayerful life. The abiding life will produce and does produce a prayerful life. You know, this is an area that Jesus knew that His disciples would need to truly understand and grow in. I mean, they're entering into a mean world just like we are. That's a mean world out there. Vicious. Vicious world. They want to chew you up and spit you out. You get out there and start living for God, this world will attack you. And by the way, sometimes, just like Jesus, some of the most hardcore, vicious people actually can't claim to be religious. But they will hate Jesus' followers. They will hate Jesus. And even Jesus alludes to it. He doesn't just allude to it. He point blank just speaks the truth in verse 18 of this same chapter. If you see it, you can even glance there. He says, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." He says, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And my friends, when this world hates us, mark it down. They're not hating us. They're hating Jesus Christ. Mark it down. Write it down. It's Jesus they hate. It's the Jesus in you, because if you are abiding in the vine, Jesus is producing His life through the branches, and what Jesus stands for, this world despises. Satan despises. My flesh despises. But the abiding life, that He knew that these disciples would need to learn how to pray. Don't you find it interesting that the disciples, when they asked the Lord to teach them something, they didn't ask the Lord to teach them to preach. They didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to witness." You notice they didn't teach us how to start a new ministry or a new program. You could go through the line, teach us how to heal. Teach us how to, and you just fill in the blank. No, you know what the disciples said when they said that phrase, "teach us"? They said this, and you already know it: "Lord, teach us to pray." To pray. And I believe that should be the prayer that is uttered from the child of God every day. "Lord, teach us to pray." Because you see, prayer, the prayer life is a journey. You know, we can't get this idea that, hey, once I get to this certain place in understanding prayer, I'm good. No, we're always growing in the prayer life, because we're always learning by abiding in the prayer life. You know, the prayer life is a wonderful honor and opportunity for each of us. We get to see God work through our prayer life. We get to see answers to prayer. And that's what I want to bring to you this morning, this truth of the abiding life produces a prayer life. You may have seen a cartoon pictured a little boy kneeling in prayer. Obviously, he was disgruntled and a little upset with the results of his prayers. He was saying, "Lord, Aunt Harriet still has not got married. Uncle Hubert still doesn't have a job, and Daddy's hair is still falling out." He says, "I'm getting tired of praying for this family without getting any results." Do you feel like this little boy sometimes? You're praying for things, you don't see it coming to pass exactly on your timeline, in your way. Well, there's a very important truth that Jesus is teaching you this morning, and me and these disciples, that it's very important that, look, in order to pray in the will of God, You have got to be abiding in Christ. Jesus is teaching His disciples the abiding life. He has declared that He is the true vine. The Father is the precise pruner who clips away those areas that aren't producing fruit in our lives for the reason of bringing forth more fruit. So how do we abide? This is important to understand, is it not? Because it's a command. Would we all agree that it's important to understand the commands of God? So He did. He said, listen, I'm going to tell you what abiding means. And this is the way I've put it in my own heart and mind. I'll share it with you. I'm sure there are other definitions, but this is my definition of abiding. I shared it with you several weeks ago. The abiding life that we're going to see is dependence on Christ. That's trust. I'm as we talked about Wednesday night, and Oswald Chambers said this, I am utterly destitute without God. Do we see ourselves as utterly destitute apart from abiding in the vine? Some of us are just fine without God. We can come to church in a service like this, but we can go out and live life without even talking to God maybe one time a day, and that's over a meal. And basically what we are living out in that situation is that, Lord, we're fine without You. You see, it's important that we are depending on Christ for every move that we make. But not only that, but it's communion with Christ. It's dependence on Christ and it's communion with Christ. That means I'm constantly spending time with my Lord. Maybe not in the prayer closet, because we have to go out and live life, don't we? We have to work jobs. We have to raise families. We have activities. We can't spend all the time in the secret place, which is a good place. But obviously, it's not reality to be there all the time. Now, God may put you in a place sometime where you are incapacitated, where you can't get out and do things, where God has you restricted to one place and you could spend a lot of time in the prayer closet, private prayer. But in reality, what He's talking about here, communion, is just talking to God throughout the day. He's your friend. The Holy Spirit, you're talking to Him. And He's talking to you. And you're asking Him questions throughout the day. And He's speaking to you. And it's a blessing. You're praising Him throughout the day. Lord, thank You. Lord, help me. Guide me. Lord, God, You're so good. And it's that communion with Christ. I'm afraid that many of us are, it's just a one-sided communion. And there's one thing that I feel like I have fallen way short in understanding the abiding life, and specifically the prayer life. And I'm asking God, Lord, help me to do this. But it's not only talking to God, but it's learning to listen. Because what it means is you're disciplining your heart to slow down enough in life to listen to the still small voice of God as you read His Word. And He is speaking to you about the various things in your life and my life. Sometimes it's a crisis time. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just the daily routine, the daily grind. Sometimes it's major decisions. Sometimes it's little things. But you are hearing and listening to God. Sometimes, if you're like me, I don't give time for God to speak. I'm on to it. I don't wait on the Lord to give me a confirmation and His Spirit speaking to mine. And therefore, I'm really not communing with Christ. But then thirdly, as we looked at, it is obedience to Christ. Listen, mark it down. It is impossible to abide in the vine without obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, and later on, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, you can go look at it. He said, listen, because you keep my commandments, you will have answers to prayer. I'm paraphrasing that. But it says clearly that there has got to be an obedience to the Lord. Well, that's what we're learning. We're learning that this is important. Now, verse 7, he says it. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will. So it doesn't say anything. It says, if you will ask what ye will, it shall be done unto you. Now, what do we do with a verse like that? The subject of prayer is clearly being taught in this verse. And you can't have a prayer life apart from the abiding life, I believe is what Jesus is saying. But we got to all agree here this morning, Jesus is not a vending machine. We're going to put in our little tokens, our little cords or whatever, and, you know, or hit the buttons. Yeah. But sometimes if we're not careful, we'll take verses like this out of context. And just as a general hermeneutic principle, you Bible students, hermeneutics is basically a word that means learning how to study the Bible. Okay? Now, a basic principle in hermeneutics is this. When you take the text out of its context, it becomes pretext. And that's how cults are started. That's how false doctrine is taught. They'll take one verse and isolate it from its context, from the rest of the chapter or the previous chapters and the following chapters, and they isolate the verse and they get it to say what they want to. Listen, you can get the Bible to say anything you want it to. And you take it out of context. But this verse is not saying, oh, Jesus is a vending machine. He's a genie in a bottle. Hey, you just come and ask in His name and boom, we got it done. No, that'll frustrate your heart. And by the way, it's just not true. That's not the way to look at it. This is actually talking about those that are abiding in Christ. And you have to ask yourself this morning, am I abiding in Christ? I gave you those 3 points, and that's what we are to be doing every single day. What is the purpose of the abiding life? Don't miss it. The purpose of the abiding life is told right there in verse 8, right after he mentions this about prayer. He says, herein is my Father glorified. Let's say that verse again all together. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Folks, if you get anything I say from this morning's message, please get this. The purpose of the abiding life is for you and I to be fruit bearers that brings glory to God. I am not a fruit producer. You are not a fruit producer. We are fruit bearers. The vine is simply for bearing fruit for the glory of the Father. Therefore, my prayer life is for the purpose of glorifying the Father. My prayer life, everything I pray is not for me. It's for the glory of the Father. Now, it will benefit me because the Father only wants what's best for His children. I like this statement. I don't know if I'll quote it just right, but I read it in the study. The prayer life is more, get this, is more about accomplishing the will of the Father rather than trying to change the Father's mind. Think about that. The prayer ministry is more about accomplishing the will of the Father than it is me trying to change the Father's desire or mind in a situation. Sometimes God's people go to the throne of grace just trying to change God's mind about things in life. We all of a sudden act omniscient and we know what's best in this situation, and we can all of a sudden start, well, God, if you can make, don't let this happen and make this happen. No, that's not the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is to come in, get my heart lined up with the Father's heart. Psalm 37, 4, 5. It says, delight thyself in the Lord. Trust also in Him. The Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. So when I'm thinking of this, I'm thinking that, hey, prayer is not just for gratifying natural desires. It is for fruit bearing for the glory of God. Another way of saying this, that if we want God to respond to our interest, we must be devoted to His interest. If we want God to respond to our interest and our desires, we must be committed and devoted to His, because God is God. And He does not run this world by consulting Brinson Jennings thinking, what should I do on this? He knows what to do. And He knows what He's doing. He's trying to get Brinson Jennings in line with His will and praying for it. He's using my prayers to accomplish His will. He lets mankind share in this. He gives us the privilege to be in unison and communion with God to accomplish His will here on earth through prayer. But He doesn't need my advice. The key to praying the Word is to be the kind of people who do not use God, get this, who do not use God for our ends, but are utterly devoted to being used for His ends. See the difference? We must remember that the branches do not eat the fruit. Others do. We are not producing fruit to please ourselves. We're producing fruit. God's producing fruit through us to help and serve others. I am so thankful that Jesus tells us here clearly that if you want some answers to prayer, number one, if you want to take these notes, number one, you abide in Christ. We've already looked at what that means. Number one is abiding in Christ. Number two, it's Christ's words abiding in me. Christ's words abiding in me. You say, what are Christ's words? This precious book. His words abiding in me. I'm reading it. I'm listening to it. I'm under its ministry through teaching and preaching. His words are abiding in me. I'm saturating myself with the Word of God. Why is that? Why do I want to saturate myself with the Word of God? Because this is what it will do. Ladies and gentlemen, the mind of God is not separated from the Word of God. If I want the mind of God and how to look at this world through the lens of God's eyes, I find it right here in the precious Holy Bible. And I have got to saturate myself with this and pray through this, pray through the Word of God. Help me, Lord, to understand Your Word. And Lord, let me be saturated. I tell you what, we got some great cooks in our church. You all know that. Men and women know how to, man, they know how to cook some good food. And I'm telling you, one of the things, I know Brother Greg Ward, he likes to cook. And I know I've had some of his chicken that he marinates. And it like marinates for like 24 hours. And man, that stuff comes out, you know, after sizzling on the grill for a little bit. And man, it just, boy, you could just cut it with a little fork or whatever. You don't even have to have a knife. It just, man, it almost melts in your mouth, the taste. It is so good. Is anybody hungry right now? I'm so sorry. But you know what? That piece of chicken might have been good grilling it by itself, but man, it had been saturating in that marinade over 24 hours, and it was packed with flavor. It was so good, and I just can't help believe that my life as a Christian, when I'm saturating myself in the Word of the living God daily, letting it get in me, letting it guide me, letting it dictate my life, and show me the will of the Lord and the mind of the Lord. Listen, your life is going to have the flavor of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you will have and I will have as we let Christ's words abide in us. And that's where I believe, as I will continue tonight, that's where I believe we start praying in the will of God. But these first two steps have to be present. And if you wanted some further study, go to Colossians chapter 3 where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That word dwell is the same word abide that we have here in John chapter 15. It's Colossians 3:16. And it tells us that when we allow that to dwell in us richly in all wisdom, we're going to be able to think thoughts like the Lord thinks towards this world. It's going to be lined up with His desires. And not only that, but I think of verses like Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. You could put that one down where it talks about the book of the law not departing out of our mouth, but meditate day and night, saturate in it, that I might be able to observe according to what is written therein. Then God will make my way prosperous and my way successful in the will of God. I heard a statement recently that I had never, ashamedly, I had never even thought of it. Because, I mean, I think it's important, very important. And I don't know why. Maybe I heard it and I just didn't really grasp a hold of it. But it talked about this when it comes to the abiding life, when it comes to not only abiding in Christ, but Christ's words abiding in me, is that when that happens, God gives you His burdens. The burden of God, the desires of God, the will of God. When I'm abiding in the Lord in the true vine, and we talked about what that was, and when His words are abiding in me, saturated by this book, God will give me His burdens. And what I mean by burdens, it's like what God wants to see come to pass. What He desires to do in this church. What He desires to do in the Jennings family. What He desires to do in Jackson County. God's desires. And folks, that's what it's all about. It's not about what I want, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about what you want. I'm thankful today that I can stand before you with the Word of the Living God and say prayer is all about, God, what do you want? Lay it upon my soul, Lord, because that's what I want. And when I go to the prayer closet, Lord, help me not to come with my long list of wants and all these things I want to see happen. May I come and say, number one, oh God, what do you want in this matter? What do you want to accomplish? Because, Lord, that's what I want to be in line with. Let's pray that way. And I just want to encourage you as I close out this morning's message. What is this going to look like practically? Where are you right now, currently, in the abiding life? Are you abiding in the vine? If so, what would you say your prayer life is right now? Now listen, before I go any further, let's all admit here this morning, we all need to grow in our prayer life. Your pastor will be the first one to raise his hand. But I will say this. Are we praying at all? Because don't... Lord, you help me to say this. It's a bad place when we start putting God on trial. A lot of times we're putting God on trial. Well, God, I've asked for this, and obviously you're not holding your end of the bargain. I asked in Jesus' name. I've been praying this. Obviously, you're not doing your part. That's called tempting God, and I strongly urge you not to do that. Because the truth of the matter is, God is not on trial. God is faithful. God is God, and I can trust Him. Although He may not be doing exactly on my timeline in the same way, I come to Him, and I want to be abiding in Him. And if we're not abiding in Him, we can't really expect answers to prayer. It's not right. For instance, if I'm praying and I say, Lord, You know the situation where we're at financially, or Lord, You know where this is and this strained relationship. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, I do know about that. But He says, Brinson, there's this thing in your life that I've talked to you about. You know the way, what about the way you treated Joanna this morning? And I'm in the prayer closet and I'm saying, Lord, can we just talk about that later? Am I the only one that does that? Lord, we will get to that. But I need to, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit in His gentle way is saying, no, actually, that needs to be taken care of. You know that habit you got in your life right now? I've talked to you about that, and you're coming to me praying about these things, but you can't know my will in these matters until you get that cleared up. And a lot of God's people are trying to live the abiding life and getting answers to prayer, and they're not abiding. And they're expecting God, well, God, what you doing? I mean, come on, I'm your child. Answer this prayer here. And God's like, you're not abiding. So let's determine that we're going to be the abiding believers God is calling us. And it's renewed daily. Again, it's not a button. Good. I'm good for the week. I'm good for the month. No, every day. Renew that abiding life. May God help us. Let's pray.